The judges added insult to injury with some shocking class bias. They said the little personal privacy that still exists should belong, really belongs mainly to the rich. The court's ruling means that people who protect their homes with electric gates, fences, and security booths have a large protected zone of privacy around their homes, but people who can't afford such barriers have to put up with the government sneaking around at night and underneath their cars. The court went on to make a second terrible decision about privacy, that once a GPS device has been planted, the government is free to use it to track people without getting a warrant. Friends, the stakes are high. After all, if government agents can track people with secretly planted GPS devices virtually any time they want without having to go to court for a warrant, are we not one step closer to the classic police state taking on the role of the KGB or the East German Stasi? GPS monitoring is a subject that has both conservatives and liberals worried. Plenty of liberals have objected to this kind of spying, but it's the conservative Chief Justice Kaczynski who has done so most passionately. He said, 1984 may have come a bit later than predicted, but it's here at last. He lamented in his dissent and invoked Orwell's totalitarian dystopia where privacy is essentially non-existent, and he warned, someday, soon, we may wake up and find we're living in Oceania. Thanks for joining us here on Viewpoint Today. Friends, these are the times that all history has waited for. Prophecy is in the making. The new world order is coming. And these are the elements that are both warning of and then can serve to prepare us if we have an eye to see and an ear to hear. People, get ready. Jesus is coming soon. We'll be coming home. Thanks for joining us. Want to urge you to get a copy of the book, The Return. Your gift of $12 or more to Save America Ministry. That's on our website, saveus.org, or call us. And then also the Jewish calendar, 16-month calendar, begins next month and goes all the way through the rest of the year. $13 plus $5 postage and handling. Call us, 1-800-SAVE-USA. Get on our website, saveus.org, and become a partner. Send your gifts by faith to Save America Ministries, PO Box 70879, Richmond, Virginia, 23255.
You've been listening to Viewpoint with Chuck Crisman.
Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay, and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story, hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at, that illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that'll determine what the future will bring. And I have to remind you the views expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to. They happen to be my views, and well, for the next hour, hopefully, they're going to be the views of Pastor Billy Crone as we talk about fearful creation. Now, certainly as we analyze what we're being told by the History Channel, by Discovery Channel, what our children are being taught in school, what I learned in university, certainly what so many of the experts will tell us and the scientists, that is the fact that evolution is a reality. Now, there are one of two possibilities. Either the evolutionists are telling us the truth, or the Bible is true, because, of course, if evolution is true, then the Bible is a lie. And, of course, if the Bible is true, then evolution is a lie. There's no in-between. You can't say, well, a little bit of this and a little bit of that, and maybe God guided evolution, and you know, 100 million years ago or 200 million years ago, he created this one-celled animal and guided its evolution. No, ladies and gentlemen, you can't squirm out of this. You're going to have to make that decision. You're going to have to come down on one side or the other, because there's no in-between on this or so many of the issues today where we've been lied to. And I graduated from the University of California, you know, with all sorts of honors, but I believed in evolution. Why did I believe in evolution? Because I was taught evolution was a scientific fact. In fact, they had at that time, they had the missing link. It was the Piltdown Man. And the Piltdown Man definitely proved, of course, of the evolution. And, of course, it looked like the skull of a man and the jaw of an ape. And that's just exactly what it was that filed down the teeth and that tinted it. And it was a great scientific fraud that existed for 50 years. And all of those smart scientists, just agreed that this was real, and it was a fraud, as is just about everything that you have been taught and when you were going to school, and so much of what you're being told today. Well, that is the background. We're really enjoying watching the Fearful Creation series, where I think we're on number 5 now. I don't know where we are in our analysis with Pastor Billy Crone from the Frontier Bible, the church up there in Niagara Falls, around Niagara Falls. But Pastor Billy, you go right ahead.
Well, Dr. Matisse is absolutely right. I think when you begin to do the homework, not the homework that they assign you in a school, but when you do your own homework and investigate the facts, and that's what a person who really wants to know the truth should do, is you're going to see that evolution is completely bankrupt, okay? And the only reason why people believe it, like you had just admitted yourself, Dr. Monteith, is because that's what you were taught. And you were taught with, these people who were above you, who they themselves were taught that this is fact and this is absolute science and you're not to question it and it's been tried and tested and so you thought. But that's not true, folks. This is, as one gentleman put it, he believes that this is going to go down in the history books as one of the greatest hoaxes in the history of humanity when you begin to look at it. And you're thinking, well, wait a second. I mean, why? I mean, that, to me, the motive has to be there because this is a worldwide. It's a worldwide conspiracy, folks. Well, once again, the Bible tells us the answer to that, and the answer is that because these people don't want there to be a God. Because if there is no God, you get to make up the rules, which also fits in with the New World Order. Because if there is no God to tell somebody what to do, they get to play God, and they get to tell us, those who remain, who are not in power, what we get to do. So they get to play God. So they don't want to be a God. And the Bible predicted that 2,000 years ago.
And not only that, but along with the New Order, they want a new world religion. They want to destroy Christianity. They want to destroy your faith, the faith of your children. And that's why the History Channel and the Discovery Channel and television and the media and the universities are all teaching a lie. Could that really be true? Well, we'll be back in just a moment with Pastor Billy from the Niagara Frontier Bible Church. You go right ahead, Pastor Billy.
Well, and what we're talking about, Dr. Monteith, of course, is the big finale of our study that we've been picking and poking at for the last 6 years. And that's the issue of dinosaurs. And we call it a fearful creation because when you look in the Bible, believe it or not, folks, God actually does mention dinosaurs. Not once, not twice, but very possibly 4 different times. You won't find the word dinosaur because that's a recently developed word invented in 1841 by a guy named Sir Richard Owens. The Bible was already long established before that, so logically you're not going to find the word dinosaur just like in the Bible, just like you're not going to find cell phone, dishwasher, computer, etc. But the Bible clearly does mention dinosaurs, and we exposed that on our first study. The Bible talks about a behemoth and a leviathan, a wild ox and a flying serpent, and you start looking at the description there. And it's clearly speaking about dinosaurs on the land, in the water, flying in the air. And of course, that's what you'd expect if God did indeed create these things. And not only that, we also expose that the Bible says that God not only created the dinosaurs, which were part of the land animals, on day 6, but he also created mankind on day 6. So that gives an interesting idea that, whoa, wait a second, you mean to tell me that man and dinosaurs coexisted? That's not what we learn in school. That's not what we see on the History Channel. And that's not what you're told in kindergarten, that the very first page of a book about dinosaurs is the millions and millions of years ago, the first line. Shortly after that, they say no one's ever seen a dinosaur. Well, that's not true, folks. We clearly expose that evidence. And in this study, you'll see with your own eyes the actual videos, the actual remains that they're keeping from us, folks. And this is not hoax. This is not something whooped up on Photoshop. These are actual scientists, actual geologists who's made these discoveries. And what you'll also find out is why, folks, that you won't find this in the textbook, why they will not report this in the media, is because there is a conspiracy. We also demonstrate that people in their own camp, folks, they cannot expose this information. They are actually fired instantly if they discover something to the contrary of the established belief system of evolution, and they lose their jobs. One lady lost it all, and she was pretty high up, and now she's selling flowers. We share that actual interview at the end of the study, and then we also share how one guy, they shut down his site and posted people with machine guns there so he couldn't go back. I'm sorry, that's not science. And here's part of the evidence, folks, that they're keeping from you. We actually find today, folks, and it's all over the world, okay? This is all over the world. This is what they're keeping from you. Actual human remains buried with dinosaurs. This is real, folks. You need to understand. This is how big the lie goes.
And, of course, you point out very well that there's lots of things about dragons, don't you remember? St. George slew the dragons, and there are lots of stories about dragons. What are dragons? Why, as you point out, they're dinosaurs. We'll be back in just a moment here with Pastor Billy. Well, this is Dr. Stan and Pastor Billy. You go right ahead. You were just saying that certainly they found remains of human beings and dinosaurs together. How could that be if the dinosaurs died out, you know, 50 million or 100 million? I don't know. They can make up whatever they want to. When you're telling a lie, you know, the old adage is the bigger the lie, the more people will believe it. But go right ahead, Pastor Billy. You point out that certainly there is evidence that mankind and the dinosaurs existed together. Not only that, but of course there's many mentions in the Bible about things which were dinosaurs. They didn't use the term because, of course, they didn't have the term when they wrote the Bible any more than they... in the Bible, you don't find anything about cell phones. You don't find anything at all about computers because they didn't have them at that time. But they did talk about these gigantic reptiles, and they described them very vividly. But the term dinosaur wasn't actually adopted until the 1800s. Go right ahead, Pastor Billy.
Well, we not only find human and dinosaur remains clearly mixed together, but we also find human tracks with dinosaurs. And again, we expose this, folks. You'll see the actual videos with the study. They find human remains, but the tracks, sometimes they're walking alongside the dinosaurs, sometimes they're crisscrossing the path of the dinosaurs. And some of the most incredible evidences, folks, that they find is they find humans stepping in dinosaur tracks. Now, how do you explain that one? And then we also, again, expose what the evolutionists do, and this is on video, what they do, folks, when they find this kind of evidence, when the word gets out. We had one guy, one humanist, when he found out this, they found this human track stepping inside of a dinosaur track, and he literally hopped on a plane the very next day, went to the dig site, and destroyed it with a crowbar. Excuse me? That's not science. Okay, that's called a cover-up. Why would you destroy that? Fortunately, they got pictures of them, and we expose that to you as well. But that's not all of them. They can't destroy them all, folks, because they're finding them all over the world. They're trying their best to cover it up as fast as people dig it up. And you need to understand, folks, this is just a big lie, okay? And they, especially on this topic, Dr. Monteith, because this is it. This is the dinosaurs. You can talk about intelligent design. You can expose all the fallacies of the mechanisms of Darwinian evolution, natural selection, vestigial organs, and mutations, and all the stuff how it's supposed to happen, and it doesn't even work, and they even admit it. We expose that. You can talk about how we haven't been here for millions and billions of years, but invariably people are going to say, oh, yeah, what about the dinosaurs? And folks, they really don't want this to come out because their whole theory really is revolved around the issue, the existence, and the demise of the dinosaurs. They've got it all wrapped around their theory. And so once you expose that that ain't true, everything falls flat on its face. And so it's not a surprise that they're working double time to keep this from you and I and the public. And that's what we're trying to do, is expose it to the public and do what we can, subverting the system, if you will. Tonight, Dr. Monteith, what I'd like to share is not only we find human remains with the dinosaurs, including human tracks, but to explain the question is, well, okay, wait a second. If God created the dinosaurs and they coexisted with man, a man's still here, but what happened to the dinosaurs? Well, and dinosaurs were real, and they really did exist, and they really did have a rapid demise, okay? We find evidence of that all over the world. Well, evolution comes along and tries to throw a couple theories, of course, one being the asteroid theory or dinosaurs turned into birds. Maybe we'll get to that in a little bit. But, folks, believe it or not, the answer is right there before us, once again, in the Bible. See, they've trained us, folks, to be scoffers just like them. And the Bible actually predicted that that would happen in the last days, that scoffers would come and they would scoff at the creation account. They would scoff at the worldwide flood, and the book of 2 Peter says that. And again, the reason why is because they don't want there to be a God. They want to be God. They want to follow their own ungodly desires. But the Bible that they've taught us to scoff at has the answers. And the Bible tells us what happened to the dinosaurs. Believe it or not, folks, it's this obvious. It was called a flood. Not a local flood, a worldwide flood, and it took them out very rapidly. The book of Genesis, chapter 7, you can read it for yourself, folks, tells us this. For 40 days, the flood kept coming on the earth, and as the waters increased, they lifted the ark high above the earth. The waters rose and increased greatly on the earth, and the ark floated on the surface of the water. They rose greatly on the earth. Now, notice just in those couple of verses, you got earth. This is not a local flood, as some would say. This is a global flood on the earth. And all the high mountains under the entire heavens, there's another reference, were covered. And the waters rose and covered the mountains to a depth of more than 20 feet. Well, what was the result? Every living thing that moved on the earth perished. Birds, livestock, wild animals, all the creatures that swarm over the earth, and all mankind. Everything on dry land that had the breath of life in its nostrils died. So basically, the Bible clearly says at one point there was a global flood. It wiped out every living thing that moved on the earth, okay, except for, of course, those that were stored away in the ark and Noah and his family. Okay, that's what the Bible says. And so common sense tells you, all right, well, if God made the dinosaurs and they coexisted with man, then they must have been part of those land animals that got wiped out. Absolutely right. And we expose that, folks, and we see it isn't just that the Bible says so. This is another thing that they're keeping from us. We have global evidence that there really was a worldwide flood, and that's really what took out the dinosaurs. And we share with you the actual video clips. Let me just share with you a conversation between two scientists. Yes, believe it or not, folks, scientists, not everybody buys into this live evolution. He says this, one guy, he says, I was doing research in Kansas, and this guy came up to me, he walked up to me and said, did you know that Kansas was underwater at one time? The whole state? He said, well, I'll be. He says, you know, and then I was down in Oklahoma, I was doing some research, and a guy comes up to me and says, did you know that Oklahoma was underwater? And I said, well, hey, do you suppose it's the same water that covered Kansas? Uh-huh. He says, you know, then I was down in Texas, and they said the same thing. And then I was doing research in Europe, and they said the same thing about Europe. It was underwater. He says, we've got overwhelming evidence in the recent past, that's a key word there, recent, that the world was underwater. And another scientist, he pops in. He says, that's not the only evidence. He says, we find a layer of crustaceous limestone that we dig in, okay, that they find dinosaurs in, not just in Texas and throughout Texas, but that thing runs throughout Texas, throughout Canada, throughout Central and South America, picks up again the White Cliffs of Dover. It runs throughout Europe, throughout Israel, throughout Africa, throughout Russia, throughout China, runs westward all the way to the western seaboard of the United States, picks up again in Australia, a 4.5-foot crustaceous layer of sedimentary deposit proving scientifically that there was a worldwide flood. And these creatures, the dinosaurs, got caught up into that. Okay? But that's still not all, folks. We exposed all kinds of evidence in our studies that there really was a worldwide flood, and that's what caused the demise of the dinosaurs. Okay? A rapid demise. One researcher, he put it, says, okay, well, wait a second. If there really was a great flood, a worldwide flood, then logically you would expect that the fossil record would reveal billions of dead things buried in rock layers laid down by water all over the earth. And what we do find in the fossil record is billions of dead things buried in rock layers laid down by water all over the earth. Well, hey, what do you know? Okay? And believe it or not, folks, one of the big evidences that there was not a worldwide flood is, believe it or not, the remains of dinosaurs. The remains of dinosaurs and how they're found, folks, tells us that they were killed rapidly, massively, by a huge worldwide flood. And it's not just because we find billions of dead things buried in rock layers all over the earth, okay, by a rapid flood, okay, but we find them jumbled up all together, thrown in a huge disorderly mass, and that's exactly what you'd expect to find. In fact, that's the only thing that can explain it, is a worldwide flood. And that's because of two things. Number one, because animals, even dinosaurs, they know, like to travel, most of them, in packs or herds, okay? And so if you listen to the Bible and talk about a worldwide flood, a sudden wave would overtake them, okay, not just one animal, but a whole mess of animals, you know, be traveling in packs and herds, especially when they're trying to run away, and then smash, they'd be instantly preserved in mud, okay? But they wouldn't be necessarily preserved in all nice, neat, laying flat, orderly rows in an orderly manner, but the swiftness and the violence of these huge mega waves would leave them in a twisted, contorted, swirly mass, okay? And guess what? That's exactly what we find. One researcher points out when he's talking about dinosaur remains, he says at this spot in Wyoming, the fossil hunters found a hillside literally covered with large fragments of dinosaur bones. In short, it was a veritable mine of dinosaur bones. The concentration of fossils was remarkable. Listen, they were piled in like logs in a jam. Hey, logs in a jam, that's what you'd expect to find in a biblical flood. Okay. In fact, folks, there's so many animals, dinosaurs, jam-packed in these graveyards. Okay, they're often buried in these massive, huge mega piles. Okay, and they're stretching for miles. One site alone, you can check it out yourself, folks, is called the Karo Beds, K-A-R-R-O, beds in Africa. There's an estimated 800 billion remains, and even after decades of fossil collecting, the bones are still sticking out of the ground, and they're stretching out for hundreds of miles. Okay? And that's exactly what you expect to find if these animals were trying to run away massively in herds, okay? And that also explains why they find, get this, folks, so many just hippopotamuses, their bones. In places like Sicily, there's so many of them in a mass grave, they dig them out with bulldozers and use them to make charcoal, okay? It also explains why they found just on one mountain alone, it's called Egg Mountain, they found 10,000 hadrosaurs, dinosaurs, the hadrosaurs, 10,000 of them all jumbled together in what appears to have been a mass death, okay? Now, how could this happen to this size of a herd under the slow, gradual, one-by-one process of evolution that they'd have us to believe? It's ridiculous, folks. Only a worldwide flood explains that. And let me give you another example to illustrate this. Let's take a look at another herd. Millions of buffalo recently, okay, about 150 years ago, millions of buffalo were slaughtered here in the North American Plains, right? And so, all right, let's apply evolutionary thinking to this. If evolutionary processes were true, we should find tons of buffalo graveyards all over the place, right? Well, guess what, folks? The problem is we don't. And the reason why is because the remains disappeared before they could fossilize from either decomposition through the weather or just scavengers. They got picked apart, okay? And so that's the logical question. Why is it we find massive fossilized dinosaur graveyards with millions of remains in giant heaps along with piles of millions of mammals, millions of fish, insects, and plants all squished all in a swirly mass? Well, the only explanation is they all died together suddenly in a massive sudden catastrophe called the worldwide flood. That's the kind of information, folks, they don't want you to find out because it instantly undermines the whole evolutionary theory.
And they really don't want you to think. That's the thing, ladies and gentlemen. They never want you to question. I mean, after all, science has proven this. They proved the Piltdown Man is certainly the missing link. And if you question that, why, obviously, you have no intelligence. You're common into commoner. You've never been educated. The Piltdown Man, and then they found it was a fraud. As is this whole lie of evolution. We'll be right back. Go ahead, Pastor Billy.
Well, another thing, Dr. Monteith, that we know that just taking a look at the dinosaurs that we find, that they were killed by a worldwide flood, was another way that we find them. We'd only find them in these massive piles.
Gold and silver is tremendously undervalued. Global demand vastly exceeds mine supply by more than 60% annually. There is little in the financial world more certain than a coming explosion in the prices of gold and silver. The U.S. dollar continues to lose value and respect as the world's reserve currency. Our nation faces challenges on many fronts, and a day doesn't pass without another economist bringing forth warnings of impending economic calamity. There has never been a better time than right now to acquire physical gold and silver. Discount Gold and Silver Trading was founded on the principles of truth and honesty. We believe in providing a quality product, quality service, and most importantly, competitive pricing. We provide all forms of precious metals, including American gold, silver, platinum, and rare investment and circulated coins. Silver bars, rounds, and 90% silver bags are on hand for the silver investor. Gold self-directed IRAs are available. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. Toll free, that's 1-800-375-4188.
Well, many men begin having prostate symptoms when they get to be 60 years of age, so Radio Liberty is offering a great product. It's called Prostate Support. It's put together by one of the country's leading health food manufacturers. It contains ingredients which have been proven to work. I know health experts who take the product, and I use it as well, and I think that really is very effective. In addition, we have a product for women during that difficult time of life. It's called Menopause Support. And lastly, we have a product for of people who have chronic difficulty with their immune system and nothing else seems to work. It's called immune support. All are available by calling 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. These products are compiled by a very reliable company. Give us a call, 1-800-544-8927.
Did you know that there's an increasing amount of scientific data which says that fluoride in drinking water is dangerous? Are you aware that your drinking water may in fact contain many unhealthy substances, even things which can cause sickness or disease? If you'd like information on how to remove these contaminants, find out about the Verkey water filter. You can call 800-544-8927 for complete information. There is a way to return to having pure, safe drinking water. The Verkey water filter. Call 800-544-8927 for information about a product that could protect you and your family from waterborne disease. The number to call is 800-544-8927. Call today.
In these times of falling values, high unemployment, loss of income, and with hyperinflation on its way, we have created a one-ounce silver coin with a cross and the words of John 3:16 on one side and the American Eagle on the other. These coins are mural finished, 0.999 silver. Each of these beautiful coins will always have an earthly store of value plus the cross with John 3:16 as an eternal value. Go to www.john316coin.com and call 1-877-316-COIN while supplies last. Order these beautiful 1-ounce John 3:16 American Eagle coins today by going to john316coin.com and calling 1-877-316-COIN.
Graphics. They've got all sorts of cartoons to show you how this happened. You go to the textbooks, they've got all of these suddenly pictures, but they're simply pictures that are made up. They're not real pictures. They're simply animations. But you're supposed to believe you saw it with your own eyes, even though it was animation, it must be true. Pick the story up, Pastor Billy.
Well, that's right. You saw it to be true, the cartoon that they made of it, because, folks, that's just all they got cartoon. Hey, folks, we did 11 DVD set on the evidence for a worldwide flood. I just gave you a couple examples with the 4.5-foot crustaceous layer all over the Earth and also just the remains of the dinosaurs and how we find them. Only a worldwide flood explains them. I just gave you a couple of them. But all they got, that's the fact. All they got, folks, is just cartoons and animation. And you repeat a lie loud enough, long enough, enough enough, hey, people just buy into it and believe it. But anyway, let's take a look at that asteroid theory, Dr. Monteith. It's a bunch of baloney. What they don't tell you, first of all, use your brain, folks. If an asteroid really did strike the Earth that killed off the dinosaurs, I'm not saying an asteroid never struck the Earth, but if there was one so big that it killed off the dinosaurs, then common sense tells you, why did it kill off just the dinosaurs? Why didn't it kill off all the other life forms as well that we know were still around with birds and vertebrates and insects, big crocodiles, other reptiles survived, you know, and all that stuff, flowering plants. Why was it just the dinosaurs? That doesn't make sense, okay? But then evolutionists say, well, no, we know the giant asteroid really did strike the Earth because we find the presence of iridium all over the Earth. Well, that's true. Asteroids do contain a metal called iridium, but the problem, so does the Earth core, okay? And it just so happens that the Earth's core can spread this metal, folks, all over the Earth through volcanoes. You don't need a giant asteroid to explain the presence of iridium all over the Earth. In fact, if you look at it from a worldwide flood perspective, during the initial catastrophes, the water, the Bible says, not only came from above, it came from below, which also explains the cracks all over around the Earth. And that's where a lot of creationists believe that the floodwaters came up from the below, not just from above. Read the Bible. It came from two sources there, folks. And that would cause massive mega volcanoes going off all over the planet. And guess what? That would produce the iridium all over the world. The presence, folks, of iridium all over the world actually helps support the idea, once again, of a biblical world flood. Okay. Then they say, of course, the big one, this is part of their animation, that their supposed smoking gun proof that the asteroid really did strike the Earth and kill off the dinosaurs was, hey, we found this crater in the Yucatan Peninsula in southeast Mexico. It's called the Chicxulub Crater. And that sounds pretty convincing. You know, they show pictures of it and all this stuff, and once again, the graphics and that stuff. But once you look at the facts, folks, it doesn't line up. We're familiar with what's been going on with oil drilling and, of course, what was going on in the Gulf there, and that's been a hot topic lately. But what they don't tell you is they've drilled cores in that area, in that area that this is supposed to be an asteroid crater. The problem is, folks, what they don't tell you is the samples, when they come back, it does not support the idea that this is an impact crater in the first place. In fact, one guy, he says, I was not totally surprised to find that here again, mainstream science journals have been blindly following a bandwagon called Chicxulub, okay, a crater. He says it's been studied by gravity and magnetic surveys, and it's also had a number of oil wells drilled into it. The geology revealed that these borehole data totally rules out the idea that this is an impact crater. He said there's obvious volcanism interspersed in between the layers. Now, how could that be if it was a one-time event? He said there is no sort, any sort of impact melt sheet. It would have fried. It would have fried the layer into like glass, this melt sheet with that kind of impact. They don't find that. He says an asteroid large enough to make such a crater, if that's what it really was, would have blasted out all the upper Cretaceous sediments within the structure. He said they're still there. He says, therefore, there is no impact. It's a bunch of baloney, folks. Okay, but they got to find some impression on the Earth. They got to find some, a deep hole, which could easily have been just a leftover remains or indent from the worldwide flood. It totally rearranged the Earth's topography, as clearly as the Bible says. But that's it. It does not support the idea that it's an asteroid. But they got to come up with some sort of theory, folks, because they don't want to admit that the Bible is true. You need to listen to it. And it was a worldwide flood that took out the dinosaurs. Yes, even the dinosaurs. But you would think that they would stop after that. Okay, you got us. Okay, we're gonna admit. No, they keep going on and on, folks. And I'm telling you, they come up with all kinds of theory. One of the bigger ones that are starting to gain popularity, believe it or not, and I would say only because of the power of the media keeps portraying them, is they would say, nope, it wasn't a worldwide flood. And maybe it wasn't an asteroid. But I'll tell you what, here's what it is. The dinosaurs turned into birds. That's right, folks. Dinosaurs turned into birds. Is what they'd have you and I believe, other than we find evidence all over the world it was a worldwide flood. And when we get back, Dr. Monteith, we'll take a look at that real quick and show folks that is just absolutely bird brain, and I will use that pun. We'll take a look at that in a second.
Well, you go right ahead and use the pun, because the whole thing is really so, so ridiculous, and the tragedy is so many good people believe this because they were taught it in college. Unfortunately, so much of what they learned just wasn't true. Pastor Bill, you go right ahead.
Well, again, let's take a look at their, we'll take a look at it. If that's what you want to spew out and say that dinosaurs turned into birds, well, let's go ahead and examine it. First of all, as one guy points out, give me a break, that's a pretty wild assumption and a huge claim. I mean, he says, first of all, in case you don't know, there's just a few differences between a dinosaur and a bird. Okay, you don't just put feathers and, duct tape it on the dinosaur and say, hey, fly, Herman, you can do it, and, push them off the cliff. It doesn't work that way. I mean, you got some serious changes to go through somehow for this to be possible. He says, first of all, reptiles have four perfectly good legs. Birds got two legs and two wings. So if this is going to be true, then somehow the dinosaurs' front legs are going to have to change into wings. Besides, a lot of other things at the same time, he's going to somehow, for some reason, just arbitrarily, I don't know, he just got up one day, had an idea in his brain, I don't know what happened, but his whole muscular system has to change, his whole nervous system has to change, his whole brain structure has to change, which even includes brain to control the flight, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Okay, but besides all that, somewhere along the line, stop and think about this. If this is true, that somehow this dinosaur is going to turn into a bird, That means at some point, according to evolution, his front legs are going to be half leg, half wing, which means he can't run and he can't fly. Okay, and so the logical question is, well, wait a second, at this stage, supposed stage of transition, how is a half bird, half dinosaur going to survive? He can't fly, he can't walk, he's going to get eaten up every single time. He can't flee, he can't do nothing. It's crazy, folks. Evolutionists will point out, maybe that doesn't make a lot of sense. You just got to believe that, because you've got to take our word for it that happened. Somehow he made it through that. But we see similarities between dinosaurs and birds, and that proves their evolutionary tie. All right, well, let's take a look at that. And one of the ones that they oftentimes bring up is with feathers and scales. And they say, well, see, birds have feathers, and dinosaurs, reptiles have scales, and they're both contained this protein called keratin. And so, see, that proves that they're related. Well, really? Well, let's apply some logic. Just because things are made from the same thing, does that mean they're related? Battleships and forks, they're both made from iron. Does that prove that they both evolved from a tin can 27 million years ago? I don't think so. Or could it also just mean just the exact opposite of what they believe? The presence of keratin proves that a common designer is using common materials.
Hold that thought. Hold that thought. Well, this is Dr. Stan and Pastor Billy simply pointing out the ridiculousness of so many of the arguments that are put forward. Certainly, a lot of the evolutionists will say, well, dinosaurs turned into birds, and that's what happened. That's where the dinosaurs disappeared. They became birds, and after all, basically, they all have keratin. Keratin, the scales of the dinosaurs, keratin, certainly in the wings of the birds. Therefore, they must have been evolved one into the other. Well, before we go on, Pastor Billy, I want you to tell our listeners how to get to your website and if they'd like to get more information.
Yeah, sure. You can check us out at our main website at getalifemedia.com. That's getalifemedia.com, getalifemedia.com. Or you can just search for my name on the Internet, Billy Crone, C-R-O-N, as in Nancy, C-R-O-N-E, and that'll take you where you need to go.
All right, fine. Well, let's go back now. What happened to the dinosaurs?
Well, again, they certainly didn't turn into birds, and I don't care what the evolutionists want to say, because it's ludicrous when you begin to take a look at what they share with as supposed evidence. They not only say that because we find this same protein and feathers and scales that proves they're related, hey, folks, that's ridiculous. It could also mean that a common designer is using common materials to get the same job done. It's crazy. But then they say, well, okay, well... Well, let's take a look at this this creature, and we noticed that some of these birds they got claws on their wings. You know, the supposed dinosaur birds turning into dinosaurs, like the Archaeopteryx, supposed missing links. First of all, what they don't tell you, folks, it's just a bird. It's 100% bird. It's about the size of a crow. And they say, well, no, he's being turned from a dinosaur because he's got claws on its wings. That proves he was a dinosaur. No, 12 birds today have claws on their wings, the ostrich, the Hodson, the Turaco, the Ibis, etc. Folks, they're not dinosaurs. They're not turning into dinosaurs. Claws mean nothing. They say, well, look, he's got teeth in his beak. See those teeth right there? That proves he was a dinosaur. Well, wait a second, folks, stop and think about it. Some birds have teeth. Most of them don't. Some fish have teeth. Some don't. Some reptiles have teeth. Some don't. Some of us have teeth. Some don't. Does that prove that we're turning into dinosaurs? I don't think so. Another thing they also don't tell you, folks, is in the fossil record, modern birds are found in layers with and lower than the dinosaurs. So common sense tells us, folks, how can birds be the ancestors of dinosaurs when the birds are already there? It's ridiculous. And they know it's not true, folks. W.E. Swinton of the British Museum of Natural History, which has the largest fossil collection in the world, here's what he says about this supposed theory that dinosaurs turned into birds. He said there is no fossil evidence of the stages through which the remarkable change from reptile to bird was achieved. Of course, but the textbook tells the kids they are, and we see this on the History Channel. That's all they got, folks, I'm telling you, for supposed proof. Another evolutionist admits it, that this is pure fantasy. Alan Fiducia, he's an ornithologist. This is what he does for a living. This is what he teaches at the bird. He studies birds. At the University of North Carolina at Chapel Hill, he says it's just a fantasy of theirs. They want so much to see living dinosaurs that they now think they could study them vicariously at the backyard bird feeder. Paleontologists have tried to turn Archaeopteryx, that's one of their supposed examples, into an earthbound feathered dinosaur, but it's not. It's a bird, it's a perching bird, and no amount of paleo babble is going to change that. Okay, so folks, I'm telling you, look at the evidence. It's not there. Okay, all they got is just nifty graphics, throw in some cartoons, repeat the lie loud enough, long enough, and suppress anybody who comes up with information to the contrary. That's the only reason why people keep believing this baloney, folks. I'm telling you. But that's not all. You would think that they would stop there. Okay, you got us. It wasn't an asteroid. It certainly wasn't this bird thing, this bird brain idea. But I tell you what, we got some other ones. And folks, I wish I'm making this up. I just simply categorize all these, the anything goes theory. Because as I did my own research, I'm going, man, you guys are just grasping at straws. That's what one guy actually said. He said, it's obvious these people don't know what happened and they're grasping at straws. Anything goes. You know, anything but what the evidence tells us, it was a worldwide flood. Okay, let me just read to you just very quickly some of the other theories that they got out there. It's anything but what the Bible says and the evidence. Some would say, here's what killed off the dinosaurs. The sun became either too hot or too cold for the dinosaurs. No. The world's climate became either too dry or too wet for the dinosaurs. Notice how they cover both bases in case they're wrong. And, of course, they're wrong. They said, no. Some would say a supernova exploded nearby and sprayed the Earth with radiation. Someone said, no. It was a passing comet. It poisoned the Earth with chemicals. Someone said, no. Here's what happened. Earth's magnetic field was reversed, and the incoming radiation killed them. But again, folks, stop and think about it. I mean, some people say it's poisonous gases. Some say it was killed off by volcanoes. But wait a second. If any of these are true, just like with the asteroid theory, why did it only kill just the dinosaurs? Hello? Why? It's very inconsistent. Someone actually say this. And by the way, folks, our tax dollars, millions if not billions of dollars throughout the years, is paying for these people to come up with these ideas and, frankly, ignore the obvious evidence of a worldwide flood. They would say this. It was mammals. Mammals ate the dinosaur eggs. That's what got them, folks. A group actually believes, here's their theory, here's what took out the dinosaurs. New narcotic plants evolved, and so basically it was drugs. They ate the plants, they got drugged, drugs killed them. It's just crazy. Got a whole group out there, folks, believe it or not, here's what we're paying for. The inability of dinosaurs to experience slow wave sleep. Okay, sleep deprivation, that's what killed the dinosaurs. Give me a break. Someone say it was parasites. Yep, parasites, those nasty parasites, that's what got them. Some people believe it was slipped discs, back problems, killed the dinosaurs. Some would say, I kid you not, folks, mass suicide. Somehow, some way, all the dinosaurs, and this is before email. I don't know how they were able to communicate this all around the globe, all at the same time, but they all decided to kill themselves. You've got to be kidding me. Some people actually believe, I kid you not, that it was constipation. That's what killed off the dinosaurs. And some actually say, no, it was a shrinking brain. The brain just kept getting smaller and smaller, and they got really dumb. Okay? Again, as one guy said, it's obvious, speaking of really dumb, with all due respect, evolutionists do not know what happened, and they're grasping at straws. In fact, folks, some evolutionists are at least honest enough to admit it. A group of three evolutionists said this. They said there are some of these theories that have been advanced to explain the sudden extinction of dinosaurs throughout the world. Each theory will explain the death of some of the dinosaurs in some places, but attempts to apply any of them or combinations of them to worldwide extinction have failed. This dinosaur story is like a mystery thriller with the last pages torn out. This is true, and the paleontologist knows it, and he knows the riddle will probably never be solved. Or will it? Okay, and that's the problem, folks. It's already solved. How about if you look in the Bible where the pages aren't torn out, and you'll see that the answer was there the whole time. It was a flood. A worldwide flood is what caused the sudden disappearance of the dinosaurs. Give me a break, folks. It's not just that the Bible says that. That's what the scientific, the geologic evidence says so. It was a worldwide flood that wiped them out. Now, that not only explains why we find the dinosaurs in the way that we find them, in this jumbled mass, these mass herds, parts and pieces and all that stuff, it also explains, folks, the other big thing that we expose on this study, what they don't want you to find out, and that's not just recent remains of dinosaurs, but fresh recent remains of dinosaurs. If these things really died out supposedly 65, 70, 75 million years ago, okay, why is it that we find fresh dinosaur bodies today? Why is it we find fresh dinosaur tissue today? And why is it we find fresh dinosaur blood cells today? The only thing that can explain why we find fresh remains of dinosaurs is they were killed recently and recently in a recent worldwide flood. Okay? That's why they don't want you to show this. And we expose this. We share with you folks on this study the actual videos, the actual interviews with these scientists and their evolutionists explaining the conundrum that they're in. Oops, I can't explain this. How could this be? How could these things still be fresh after 70 million years? Let me just read to you just a couple of the actual video transcripts. We share with you the actual videos, and you'll see with your own eyes, folks. But let me share with you what they're finding out there. One interview says this, a mummified dinosaur that can change a lot about what we know about these prehistoric creatures. It was found by a guy named Tyler Lyson, and he stumbled across the dinosaur. He called it Dakota because he was on his farm in North Dakota. And so he says, wow, this is extraordinary, this mummified dinosaur. He said, it's a whole dinosaur. There's skin, there's bones, this is a jackpot. And the Tyler Lyson, he agrees, and he says, yeah. He says, most of the time as vertebrate paleontologists, we just have the dinosaur bones to go from, but this is a dinosaur. We have complete three-dimensional skin envelope around the bone. And so the guy asked him, he says, put simply, what happened that enabled for the first time that we know for the skin to be preserved like this? And listen to his response, Dr. Murthy. He said it was buried right away. And the guy says, how? He said it was buried very rapidly in a flash flood. Well, gee whiz, I wonder what flood that was. Okay? Another video you can see with your own eyes, folks. This one's wild. It's one of the most complete dinosaur mummies ever excavated. It was back in 2000, okay, in Montana. They named it Leonardo. It's a mummified duck-billed dinosaur with skin impressions surrounding almost 90% of the body. And listen to this. This is the direct quote from the scientist, and I believe he's even an evolutionist. He said this, quote, I didn't believe it until I saw it. It was a mummy. You could see the skin. From 30 feet away, you could see the skin. But it's not the skin imprints that make the fossil so special. It's what's inside. This is the first dinosaur found with an intact digestive tract. He said, I've been told that it had guts, but he said that was too good to believe. He said, so I walked into the museum, and there right under the lights was the specimen. He said, you could see the guts. And they used this technology, he said, and they to scan it. He said it helped the team pinpoint the plant eater's last meal, which can, this is a dinosaur, folks, listen. He said the last meal consisted of chopped up conifer needles and branches, giving the scientists a better understanding of the species. And under a microscope, you could see the jagged edges of the chopped up vegetation there, and his words that he shares was, it's incredibly cool. Yeah, it's incredibly cool, all right. Fresh guts, fresh skin of dinosaurs. How could that happen if they were supposedly millions and millions and millions of years old? Excuse me? It looks to me like the only reason why you can find that is because it was a recent death. I wonder what caused that. I'm thinking a recent worldwide flood. But that's not all, folks. It gets even better than that. We find fresh dinosaur tissue, not just their bodies, but fresh dinosaur parts, fresh, soft, pliable body parts. Here's another interview that we share with you on this study, and again, you can see it with your own eyes, folks. It starts out like this. It says, the scientific world is still reeling from the finding of actual Tyrannosaurus rex cells and soft tissue unearthed last week at a Montana excavation site. It's a tremendous find that scientists say can unlock the mysteries of extinction and could one day lead to real-life dinosaur cloning, maybe. And so they interview this the lady who found it, and her team. It's a North Carolina State University professor. The lady's name's Mary Schweitzer. You can check it out yourself, folks. Okay? And they found the specimens there. And he says to Professor Mary, he says, as I understand it, this is sort of an accidental discovery. You had to split one of the bones in half because it was too big to get into the helicopter. And then when you split into the bone, you suddenly realized you had this soft tissue in your hand. And she said, well, it wasn't quite that sudden. They did have to split the bone in the field, as reported. And when it got back to the lab, one of her research assistants began preparing it, and she preserved some of the fragments for chemical analysis, and so it was treated slightly different than most dinosaur bone in the field. But basically, just to insert here, that's the only reason why they made these discoveries. Nobody had ever thought to test their theory that these bones are really 65, 70 million years old until they cracked it open. And the only reason why they crack it open is because the whole thing wouldn't fit in the helicopter. And that's what started this amazing discovery. And folks, you need to understand, this is recent find, okay? And so the guy says, well, man, this is amazing. He says that you could find soft tissue in a fossil this old. What can the soft tissue really tell us? Well, and she says this. Well, she says, yeah, it's very amazing. Listen, it's utterly shocking because it flies in the face of everything that we understand of how tissues and cells degrade. And he says, One of the exciting things about this discovery is the fact that the stuff is so well preserved. And how can that happen over 70 million years? And she says it's utterly shocking. And he says, so you got to sort of rewrite the book on as far as fossilization goes, I assume. And she says this. Yeah, she says a lot of our science does not allow for this. All of the chemistry and all the molecular breakdown experiments we've done does not allow for this. Okay? In other words, we've got our mind made up. This doesn't fit our paradigm. Okay? And she said, when I was reading the story, I was amazed of your report that some of the capillaries, when you pulled on them, they snapped right back. Are you amazed at the quality of the remains? Absolutely. She says, 70 million years old, huh? She says, it doesn't seem possible. But yes, listen, this is the scientist who made this discovery. This is how fresh remains we find in dinosaurs. This is what they will not tell you in the media. This is what they will not put in the textbook. She says, quote, yes, you can actually take the vessel. They have internal components. You can take a probe and kind of squeeze those things out into a solution, and the vessels are fine. I just can't explain it, to be honest. And, folks, I'm telling you, we share with you again the actual video clip of them examining these remains under the microscope. They videotaped it. We got it for you. Okay. And they're taking tweezers, and they're pulling on it. It's like fresh meat. It's just soft, pliable. This deal, and it's springing back. Dinosaur tissue, folks. That's how fresh it is. It blows it completely out of the water. And, again, Dr. Montita, I just have to share the classic joke that, to me, puts this together. I mean, I'm sitting here going, you're looking at this evidence, and it's fresh tissue, and yet you still keep saying, 70 million years old, huh? No. Maybe there's another way of looking at the evidence, okay? And it reminds me again of this farmer. One day this farmer, he was pulling out a calf that was a breech birth, which means the feet are coming out first, okay, in the birthing process. And so the farmer was using a calf puller. If you guys ever been on a farm, I grew up in the Midwest, and using a calf puller, and you tie it around there, and it's a winch, and you wrap it around the legs, and you actually jack the calf out of the cow, okay? But the feet are coming out first. Well, a city slicker, as the story goes, was driving by, and he stopped to see what was going on because, man, he'd never seen anything like this before. And he stood there staring over the fence, and the farmer said, hey, come on, come over here, give me some help. And so the city slicker said, who, me? And the farmer said, yeah, hurry, come over here, I need some help. So the city slicker, he got out of his car, he jumped over the fence, and he ran over to help the farmer pull out the calf there. And he never said a word during the whole ordeal. He just did what he was told. And about 10 minutes later, they were walking up to the barn to get all washed up, and the farmer said, you know, I really want to thank you for helping me out here. I really appreciate it. And the city slicker said, well, hey, that's fine, no problem. And the farmer said, you've been awfully quiet, though. Are you okay? And the city slicker says, I'm okay. And the farmer said, have you ever seen anything like that before? And the city slicker said, no, sir, I've never seen anything like that in my entire life. And the farmer said, well, do you got any questions? And the city slicker said, well, yes, sir, I do. It's been bothering me the whole time that we were out there pulling that calf. And the farmer said, well, what's your question? And the city slicker said, well, how fast do you figure that calf was going when it ran into the back of that cow? And, folks, I'm telling you, that's the same thing. These people will actually expose this evidence. You'll see this, folks, on the video. They're actually interviewing the people, and they're finding fresh dinosaur remains. And then they sit there and go, basically, how fast was that calf going out the back that ran into the back of that cow? That they're saying, it's 70 million years. It's crazy, folks.
But you see, they can't admit that the dinosaurs lived recently, they lived with men, because, of course, this shatters their whole basic theory of evolution. And so they try to come up with another explanation. Really, I've seen this footage, and the scientists are saying, we really don't understand this. It doesn't make sense. Ladies and gentlemen, of course it makes sense. If they just read the Bible and believe what God said, of course it makes sense. Dinosaurs died off recently, not 60 million years ago. We'll be right back. Well, Pastor Billy, you got 3 minutes to wrap up tonight's program.
Well, very quickly, folks, it gets even worse for the evolutionists, that is we not just find fresh dinosaur bodies, we not only find fresh dinosaur tissue. Folks, I'm not kidding you, they find fresh dinosaur blood.
heart disease is on the rise. Clogged arteries, high blood pressure, and high cholesterol levels may not be fully detected by you, but the symptoms are there. Loss of energy, blood sugar spikes and drops, poor circulation, and irregular heartbeat are just a few of these that can alert you that something is wrong. Hear how Heart and Body Extract is making a difference in thousands of people's lives across America.
My blood pressure has normalized. My diabetes has totally improved.
Everyone is telling me now how much healthier I look, and I'm telling everyone how much healthier I feel. I recommend Heart and Body Extract to everyone.
Anybody over 40 in the North American continent should be using this product as a preventative to keep their cardiovascular system healthy.
Order your two-month supply today by calling 866-295-5305. That's 866-295-5305. Or order online, hbextract.com. Heart and Body Extract, 866-295-5305 or hbextract.com.
You may be new to freeze-dried foods. You may have storable food questions. You may want to buy your freeze-dried foods from a very reputable company and not go broke in the process. Welcome to the Freeze-Dry Guy. Okay, actually, we're more than just one guy. We're a California-based company that's been serving our U.S. military and other government agencies with the finest in freeze-dried storable foods and emergency rations since 1970. See all about us at freezedryguy.com. With Freeze-Dry Guy freeze-dried foods, you can and will be ready for just about any unexpected crisis. Freeze-dried guy foods are delicious, require little preparation, and will taste just as fresh decades from now as they do today. Just add hot water and serve. Backpackers consistently rate us number one year after year as the best tasting and ease of preparation. Isn't that what you want for your family? Visit freezedryguy.com or call 866-404-FOOD. That's 866-404-3663 or go to freezedryguy.com. Freeze-dry guy, the best you can buy.
Where are my car keys? What did I come in this room for? Where did I put that?
A common condition called age-related memory loss is robbing millions of people of their ability to remember and think clearly. And Alzheimer's and Parkinson's are occurring at younger ages, even early 20s and 30s. And there's much evidence that brain inflammation may be the cause. Brain inflammation may also cause depression and insomnia. But there's great news. Studies show by taking special, powerful nutrients, brain inflammation and its damaging effects may be greatly reduced. And that's why neurosurgeon Dr. Russell Blaylock created his brain repair formula to reduce brain inflammation and maintain a healthy brain. So, for a free book on brain health or information on Dr. Blaylock's special brain repair formula, call 1-800-SPECIAL or visit 1-800-SPECIAL.com.
Fearful Creation, and part one, part two, four, and each one, and they're available by calling 1-800-544-8927. You're better off to get two of them together, but the information is there. Pastor Billy does a wonderful job. You'll actually see all the film clips and videos, and these scientists saying, we just can't understand it. Well, of course, you can't understand it because they don't believe the Bible, because they have a conclusion based upon false information, and they're lying to people. Why? Because we've got to convince them the evolution is true, and that the Bible is not true, and therefore there is no God. And this is really all a part of this conspiracy against God that we write about and talk about. So you can get the Fearful Creation, certainly through Radio Liberty. Why, you can get my book, Brotherhood of Darkness, and or the DVD, Brotherhood of Darkness, or the Brotherhood of Darkness special. We actually have a talk, it's called The Secret. It goes into the background of the forces working behind the scenes. There really are supernatural forces out there. We are involved in a battle with those supernatural forces. We have certainly a four-tape set on the supernatural. And, of course, the book written by Joanna Michelson, who was deeply involved in the supernatural for many years. We have a book called Hostage to the Devil, written by Malachi Martin. And we have a four-tape set of my interviews with Father Martin. Fascinating information about this other dimension that's there. Not imaginary, but real. We have a book called Satanic Crimes. We have a four-tape set called Satanic Crimes, which will take you into the Bilderberger Group and, of course, the fact that there is involvement in pedophilia and Satanism in the Bilderberger Organization, one of the most powerful groups in the world today. Certainly we have great deal of information here that we have a book called The Franklin Scandal. The Franklin Scandal. It's the story of a pedophile network that began in Boys Town in Nebraska and extended all the way into the White House. But why should we be surprised? The chairman of the House Banking Committee, Barney Frank, is an admitted homosexual. And of course, his lover ran a homosexual prostitution ring out of his apartment and used to take people on tours of the White House at night. Maybe there's something wrong in our society today. Maybe we've got real spiritual problems with many of our people. Hillary Clinton, currently Secretary of State, when she was in the White House, she brought a medium in to conjure up the spirits of Mohandas Gandhi and Eleanor Roosevelt. We've forgotten that. We've forgotten Nancy Reagan was deeply involved in astrology, and of course the astrology was actually running the government, saying when various acts would be signed. And there's a book called What Did Joan Say by Joan Quigley. It goes into that very subject. What did Joan say? But you're not going to hear about these things on regular channels. You're not supposed to understand about these things. But they're not imaginary. They're very real, for we are involved in a spiritual battle being played out on a political, ideological, and cultural battlefield, and there is a conspiracy against God. Our telephone number is 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. We want to remind you about our all-day conference on the 17th of October. And, of course, that's going to be right here at the Aptos Seascape Golf Course. And we do hope, of course, you will want to come. You're going to have reservations because we're serving lunch. And then, of course, I will be speaking on the 18th of September up in the Santa Rosa area. If you want to know more, call us at 1-800-544-8927. I want to remind you, we do carry the Berkey water units. We carry the Miracle-Soo soap products and health products. And if you go to our website, you can certainly get the list of the books we carry and the videos and the four tape sets and the information that you will need to understand what's going on, and point you to the fact that there really is a spiritual battle going on, and you better have a personal relationship with our Lord, or you're not going to survive what lies ahead. That 8-DVD set on Fearful Creation of Pastor Billy Crone's The Final Countdown, Pastor Billy Crone's RFID, all of them are available from Radio Liberty. Please pray for Radio Liberty. Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay, and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story, hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at, that illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that'll determine what the future will bring. Then after reminds of the views expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to. They happen to be my views, and well, for the next hour, they're going to be the views of Barry Shamish. And those of you who don't know Barry, he's an Israeli citizen. He's certainly worked in Israel for about 30 years. Investigative journalism, has written many, many books, and certainly his most famous books deal with the assassination of Rabin, pointing out that this was a government operation, and they killed Rabin. And of course, agencies exposed corruption at all levels of government so effectively that he was forced to leave Israel and come here to the United States. And we enjoy having Barry on, certainly every week. The last week we had a wonderful presentation. If you haven't heard it, it's up on the Internet. And it is Barry's story of Benjamin Netanyahu, the current Prime Minister of Israel. And certainly as you listen to what he has to say, and of course this is posted, he has this actually on his website as well. Why, of course, you'll find out that Benjamin Netanyahu is not part of the Zionist movement that's running Washington, D.C. Benjamin Netanyahu is certainly subservient to the Council on Foreign Relations complex of Henry Kissinger and the others, and certainly the policies of the Israeli government are the policies that are dictated to them from what I refer to as the invisible government or the Brotherhood of Darkness. This is one of the most important talks Barry's ever given. If you haven't heard it, why, go up on our website and you can listen to it, or go to Barry's website. I'm sure it'll be posted there. Hi, Barry. How are you doing tonight?
Oh, I'm fine. I've been a radio host this week.
You have? Well, have you enjoyed it?
Yeah, I have another day, but it's actually much harder to be the host than the guest.
Well, let me tell you, I do 5 hours a day, and I will tell you, I love doing talk radio. I really do. Of course, especially when I have a good guest like you who does all the work.
Yeah, but it's bringing the entertainment value out of scholarly guests. That sucks your energy dry.
I know. Well, anyway, what are we going to talk about tonight?
Well, nothing spectacular. It's just, I did notice some things that are worthy of note, but not all that dramatic. I mean, the United States has convinced Israel and the PLO to sit down for negotiations starting next week for the first time in... Boy, it doesn't matter because they're a waste of time. But nonetheless, the Americans are putting all kinds of hopes on these negotiations. But what we've got is the timing. Netanyahu promised that the building freeze in Judea and Samaria would end in September, coming up. And with these negotiations, he's got a problem because the PLO... will have announced that they'll walk out of the peace talks, the so-called peace talks, if the construction moratorium is lifted. So, I hear music.
Well, anyway, of course, obviously, then the peace talks really are more or less political theater that make the people in the United States and throughout the world feel that the Obama administration is doing something. But there's no way they're going to have a negotiated peace there because, of course, unfortunately, the people in the Palestinian unit certainly do not want peace with the Israelis. This is it. I mean, if they got peace, it was like Arafat. They promised him everything. He was going to have everything he wanted. He didn't take it. Why? Because if he'd taken it, there'd have been peace and he wouldn't have had a job. And so Arafat turned down an offer, the most generous offer I've ever heard of. And I feel that the same thing will happen this time. It's all political theory, ladies and gentlemen, for your entertainment. But in the final analysis, I fear it won't accomplish much of anything. Well, Barry, you go right ahead.
Yeah, well, Arafat also wanted Tel Aviv and Haifa, and Barack wouldn't give it to him, so that was the end of the discussion. What the PLR are doing is they're putting roadblocks, silly roadblocks, even before the negotiations begin. The dumbest one, Israel wants to build, if you've ever gone to the Western Wall, it's a very nasty climb. It's up hills and down hills until you reach, I'm not even sure what mountain this is that goes down to the Western Wall, but if you're an old person or a handicapped person, it's very hard to get there. So Israel wants to build an elevator and an escalator so that people can go to the Western Wall. Well, the Palestinians are claiming that is breaking the moratorium on construction in their territory, and they're raising this fuss against building
an escalator down to the Western Wall. And how far can you push this? Well, when you said we're talking about a staircase now, and the Western Wall isn't Jewish. I mean, they're putting up roadblocks that can't be overcome, and they're doing it on purpose.
Well, but you see, they don't want, you and I both know, they really don't want peace. After all, I mean, if they got peace, how would the leaders of the Palestinian organization be able to continue lauding it over the poor Palestinians and getting money from the United States and living as well and be able to, I'm sure, take a little bit on the side when nobody's watching? I mean, this whole system is totally corrupt.
Well, I actually think they view the world as going in their favor, and that in the end they will slaughter the Jews and get their Palestine back the way it was. I think anything less than that is unsatisfactory to them. But, you know, there's a very interesting change of events. It's a very subtle one, but you have to look at it. It's what's happening to the West Bank. So much money is going into the West Bank since, well, Arafat died. And the cops are totally corrupt. And Ramallah is becoming, well, it's replacing Jerusalem as the capital of the Palestinian Authority. Now, I've got some statistics. More than 100 Palestinian businesses have located to Ramallah from Jerusalem in the last few months. And then there's all kinds of reasons for it. More
hold that thought. Right, please be. Well, this is Dr. Stan. Barry said that an awful lot of the Palestinian businesses are moving from Jerusalem to Ramallah, and Ramallah is almost becoming the head of the capital of the Palestinian movement. You're going to have to remind me where Ramallah is in relationship, say, to Jerusalem itself.
It's 10 miles away.
All right, towards Bethlehem or which direction?
No, it's north.
It's north. Okay, fine. So basically then, it must be a fairly prosperous Palestinian region?
Well, it's their capital. I mean, that's what it's become. Ramallah has, it's seen tremendous investment, and it's a transformed city. And look, you've got foreign investments going to the Palestinian Authority from all over the world. And the new building is not all that private. It's the government taking the money and building buildings. You also have them in Gaza, by the way. But what's going on are that the embassies of countries who accept that this is the Palestinian state, they're not going to Jerusalem. Their ambassadors are in Ramallah. And I've got a whole long list of them, too. Just the A's, they're Argentina, Australia, Austria, they're all their embassies, and they call them embassies sometimes. Sometimes they just, they call them embassies. And that's what they're there for. And they're not going to Jerusalem, they're going to Ramallah. And Ramallah, you see, this is what, you can bribe your way to peace. If there was a war, and this thriving Ramallah, which is strip malls and fancy restaurants, and for those who can afford it, a decent place to be, is involved in a war, it's going to turn into rubble. That's what happened under Arafat, and Ramallah turned into rubble. I'm not sure that it's worth it. You know, I mean, just straightforward, for all the politics, what you've got are people starting to improve their lives, mostly from foreign aid. And they may actually be bought into being more peaceful. Now, just so you know, it's not all perfect in this. You still have plenty of poor Arabs, and there's three refugee camps surrounding Ramallah, and those residents don't go to the fancy restaurants, and they're really ticked off at the Palestinian Authority. I've got a quote from one of them. To be honest with you, we have lost the battle for Jerusalem. One of the reasons is because the Palestinian government doesn't really care about Jerusalem. You've still got an undercurrent, but in the leadership, they've turned Ramallah into a pretty fancy place that may not want to be destroyed as much as they would have 3-4 years ago. But there is a black cloud to the horizon, and this is quite serious. The Arab states, mostly they were afraid of the PLO at one time. They were terrified of terrorism, and they unleashed their Palestinians on these Arab governments, so they bought them off. And that's what kept the Palestinian Authority in the terrorist business, well, for decades, really. But now the Arab states are not afraid of the PLO anymore, and they're cutting off the financial aid. And apparently, it's from the reports I've get. Look, I have a UN report that said the Palestinian Authority, here's a quote, will face a serious liquidity crisis in September and will have difficulty paying August salaries. This is because the Arab states are no longer funneling money at the PLO. And, well, in Gaza, it's unbelievable. I mean, they don't even have electricity. 8 to 12 hours of every day, they don't even have electricity in Gaza.
Yeah, they're better off than people are in Iraq under the Americans. If they got electricity 12 hours a day, they're really doing well.
Well, I don't know if they view it that way, but what the heck. I mean, it is Ramadan, and it's boiling hot there, and you really don't want to come home to a very hot house with no food when you've been fasting all day. It's not a healthy situation all in all. And what you've got in Gaza, well, the power station this week shut down for 2 days. They blame the PLO for not sending them fuel, and the PLO blame Hamas for not paying for the fuel. The point is, what you've got a genuine rich-poor situation with the leadership of the PLO, and again, they live in Ramallah. That has turned into the big city. It used to be Hebron. Ramallah is now becoming the big city of the Palestinian Authority. They're living fine. In Gaza, they don't have electricity. And what does this all mean? It means that Gaza will continue shooting rockets, and the West Bank, it looks like, has been bought off to some degree anyways.
Well, it may very well be, you know. If you can buy off the leaders, it doesn't matter what the people want.
I don't think the people want a war in the West Bank.
I don't think anybody wants a war. I mean, I'm sure the Israeli people don't want a war. The Palestinians don't want a war. Wars are created by leaders, not by the common people.
That's not what the polls say out of Gaza. The polls have 2/3 of the people want to continue with the rocket fire on Israel and the works.
Yeah, but they don't want to have the war. They don't want to have the Israelis come back there and start killing the Palestinians. They did last time.
They want to defeat the Israelis.
Right.
I mean, they're not fighting to lose. They think that the world is with them, and they're going to get, God is with them, everyone's with them, and they're going to get their way. Look, neutralizing the Palestinians means really getting rid of Hamas. They're not as easily bought as the PLO are. And, well, they're going to keep shooting their rockets, but more seriously. And I also looked at this, these stories came out of Israel. All this is this week, by the way. I mean, these are just reports from Israel this week. But there is something that really, really should be noted. And two reports in 1 week, to me, is a trend always. I think it's a trend. You've got the building of shelters against chemical and biological attacks really taking off now in Israel. You've got, well, I'll give you a short list of where they're being built. The railway station in Jerusalem will be able to hold 5,000 people in case of a biological attack. And it's got filters, and it's got a doctor's corner and all kinds of things being ready for a biological or chemical attack. It's not an accident. They're using underground facilities and transforming them. The Haifa Carmel tunnels will be shelters in Tel Aviv. It's the underground parking lot of the Habila Theater. They're all being turned into shelters against chemical or biological attacks. And that doesn't mean just being underground. It means if you've got a chemical attack, you've got to filter the air. Building a shelter is an expensive proposition, especially if it's going to hold, well, the one in Jerusalem is going to hold 5,000 people, and it will be, the lower level will be 262 feet under the ground. What can you say? I don't think that's enough people, 5,000. Do I hear music?
No, you don't. And I will tell you when it's coming, Barry. But the thing is, of course, that 5,000 people is all very well and good, and I'm glad they're building it. But you're dealing with, you know, hundreds of thousands of people. What about the protection for the rest of them?
Well, that, I was looking at it as well. Now, I wonder who these 5,000 people are going to be. Right? If you've got 200,000 racing for the shelter and room for 5,000, I would guess it's not going to be on a first-come, first-served basis. I assume that you're talking about the important people of Israel will be allowed in before the public.
I wouldn't be at all surprised. I know that they're making preparations here in the United States. They have their underground shelters. They have some one up above in Santa Rosa there, and they have them in Washington, D.C. I don't know where they all are, but they're for the elite. The rest of us folks are going to just be left on our own. In fact, they've done everything to discourage people from preparing for what I fear were going to be some terrible things happening here, but go right ahead.
Well, I would say the same thing, but the fact that it's gone public that they're building these things, look, when you build shelters, large shelters, it's not a home shelter. 5,000 people in one room is still a pretty big room. And it's an expensive proposition. And the fact that they're building them is a hint of what somebody knows, that somebody knows this is coming, and we're going to have space to run the country from these shelters. That's what it tells me. But there's a remarkable backup piece that came out this week. And now I hear music.
You did, but go right ahead. I'll tell you when to stop.
Look, the Army always had a core, a non-conventional warfare core. We all ran through gas with our masks when they came to visit us. In fact, it's called the Center for Atomic, Biological, and Chemical Warfare. Now, this was, well, it was just a unit in the engineering corps. It wasn't a big deal.
Hold that thought. Hold that thought. We'll be right back in a moment. All right, Barry, you were talking about when you were in the military.
Gold and silver is tremendously undervalued. Global demand vastly exceeds mine supply by more than 60% annually. There is little in the financial world more certain than a coming explosion in the prices of gold and silver. The U.S. dollar continues to lose value and respect as the world's reserve currency. Our nation faces challenges on many fronts, and a day doesn't pass without another economist bringing forth warnings of impending economic calamity. There has never been a better time than right now to acquire physical gold and silver. Discount Gold and Silver Trading was founded on the principles of truth and honesty. We believe in providing a quality product, quality service, and most importantly, competitive pricing. We provide all forms of precious metals, including American gold, silver, platinum, and rare investment and circulated coins. Silver bars, rounds, and 90% silver bags are on hand for the silver investor. Gold self-directed IRAs are available. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. Toll free, that's 1-800-375-4188.
Well, many men begin having prostate symptoms when they get to be 60 years of age, so Radio Liberty is offering a great product. It's called Prostate Support. It's put together by one of the country's leading health food manufacturers. It contains ingredients which have been proven to work. I know health experts who take the product, and I use it as well, and I think that really is very effective. In addition, we have a product for women during that difficult time of life. It's called Menopause Support. And lastly, we have a product for people who have chronic difficulty with their immune system and nothing else seems to work. It's called Immune Support. All are available by calling 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. These products are compiled by a very reliable company. Give us a call, 1-800-544-8927.
Did you know that there's an increasing amount of scientific data which says that fluoride in drinking water is dangerous? Are you aware that your drinking water may in fact contain many unhealthy substances, even things which can cause sickness or disease? If you'd like information on how to remove these contaminants, find out about the Verkey water filter. You can call 800-544-8927 for complete information. There is a way to return to having pure, safe drinking water. The Verkey water filter. Call 800-544-8927 for information about a product that could protect you and your family from waterborne disease. The number to call is 800-544-8927. Call today.
In these times of falling values, high unemployment, loss of income, and with hyperinflation on its way, we have created a one-ounce silver coin with a cross and the words of John 3:16 on one side and the American Eagle on the other. These coins are mural finished, 0.999 silver. Each of these beautiful coins will always have an earthly store of value plus the cross with John 3:16 as an eternal value. Go to www.john316coin.com and call 1-877-316-COIN while supplies last. Order these beautiful 1-ounce John 316 American Eagle coins today by going to john316coin.com and calling 1-877-316-COIN.
These reports, he has a distinct feeling that certainly the thrust of the Israeli military is changing, that they really believe that there may well be a return to this brutal type of warfare, this genocidal type of warfare, that we hoped had been long since forgotten at the time of the First World War. And there's always been talk about the possibility of this sort of warfare today. But now, increasingly, with the advanced training and the amount of time that's going to be put in training, Barry feels that this is, at least the Israeli Defense Force feels that this is a very real danger. And ladies and gentlemen, if it's a real danger over there, is it possible that we might see atomic or biological or chemical warfare in other countries, in the Middle East? Here in America?
Well, you do. I mean, the Turks bombed the Kurds with chemical warfare. Iraq bombed the Kurds with chemical warheads. I mean, you have this already.
Go right ahead, Barry.
No one's tried it on Israel that we're aware of. Now, here is, again, Colonel Kozer saying that his force will evacuate, decontaminate, and protect the forces. And he calls it the battalion already. They know how to detect and identify chemical warfare materials and decontaminate the soldiers and return them to the field. Look, that's a different warfare already. I mean, the conventional fighter isn't prepared for this kind of warfare. No one is prepared for a chemical attack, or God forbid, a biological attack which is even more complicated. Gas you can put on your mask and for a while anyway you won't feel it. Biological, it'll kill you. Anthrax or smallpox, all kinds of things. These people apparently can detect all of it. And here's a quote: "Our job is to teach the soldiers how to continue to fight during an ABC attack. We teach them to survive the attack, decontaminate themselves, and complete their mission." Is this guy nuts? I mean, really, if it reaches the point where the frontline forces are being attacked with chemical and biological weapons, I don't know if they can be decontaminated and sent back to complete their mission. I think they're going to be pretty darn shaken up. But they're expanding this, and they're letting the Israeli public know. And this goes on and on. But they will teach soldiers to identify whether a fallen missile contains chemical warfare or not. All kinds of stuff that, well, all I can say is that if this becomes a battalion, and if it does what he says it does, follows every fighting force on the front line to decontaminate them and get them back into action, there has been a very big change in the strategy of the Israel Defense Forces. And that's how I'm reading this report. Combine it with the sudden announcement that they're building shelters for thousands of people. I get the feeling that the word is getting out that it's a very changed landscape from here on in.
Well, Barry, I certainly agree with you. I'm very, very concerned that something terrible is going to happen and to Israel and to the Middle East and here in the United States. And I believe, of course, the thought of this is so horrible, the implications of it, and as far as not only the military, but as the civilian deaths. I mean, the civilians certainly are not prepared. I mean, it's nice to have a gas mask.
Oh, they run for the shelters, so they've had it.
Right.
The ABC battalion is only the army.
Right. Well, I think that there's going to be some very, very real problems. Obviously, somebody is anticipating that, and Barry is simply pointing this out. That first of all, if this was simply a military issue, but they're allowing the public to know. And this is going to, I feel it's going to really engender a great deal of fear. It certainly would. It would be very concerning to me if I were there, or my family were there, and I know Barry feels very strongly about this. We're going to be back in just a moment with Barry Shemes. But ladies and gentlemen, we're living in very dangerous times. People don't like to believe it. People like to think, oh boy, wait till things get back to normal. Well, I'm not certain they're going to get back to normal. The normal as they were before all these things came about. We'll be back in just a moment. Barry, you go right ahead.
Hello?
Barry, you go right ahead.
Oh. I'm going to use this time to get my plug out. I think this is the right time. To get my books, I'm going to tell you how to do it.
Barry, it'll be better if we do that in about 2 minutes, and I will give you the clue for that. This is not the best time to do it. Go right ahead.
Really?
Let's talk about the other issues, then we'll get to that in just about 2 minutes.
All right. I thought the music was the halftime.
No, you're just going to have to trust me, but believe me, I will try to look after you and try to get people to get your books, because I think they're important.
Fair enough. Well, in 2 minutes, what are we going to... All right. A very weird thing happened in the Israeli army again. Now, it's a complicated story. Ask me afterwards about Ehud Barak, the other side, the left, and his ties to the CFR, and I've got a really good story for you. Remind me of that afterwards.
All right, fine, I will.
But in the meantime, Ehud Barak, in a very hasty manner, nominated the new chief of staff of the IDF, not nominated, he appointed him. And the rumor is, and this is also spreading like wildfire, that the IDF was in a state of panic because of a gathering momentum towards war coming out of Damascus, Beirut, and Tehran. Now, my guess is that since the the Iranian nuclear reactor went online, that the Arabs were just flexing their muscles in case anything did happen. But Israel got very panic-stricken and appointed a new chief of staff just this week in record time, apparently because they're afraid of something. There's something in the air that's not good.
Oh, you're absolutely right. Hang on there. We'll be back in just a moment here. Okay, fine. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and Barry's just talking about the fact that people over there in Israel have a feeling that something big is afoot. In fact, there's talk over there about perhaps a war coming with Syria or with Hezbollah or with Hamas or with Iran.
Nobody knows. War.
What's that?
Rumors of war.
Well, okay, fine. But before we go on, Barry, I want you to tell our listeners how they can get your books, how they can get your DVDs, how they can invite you to come to speak to their group, and, of course, how that they can get your PayPal button.
Yeah, this is getting to be very impoverished times. People who supported me for years have run out of money, and it's all over the place. I mean, it's really, really spreading. So I have supported myself for a long time selling my books. People like the books. So you can get them at lulu.com. That's www.lulu.com. You'll see a search button, a search box. You'll write my name. That's CHAMISH, and you get to all my books, and by the way, to download them costs $5. More to, you know, get it sent to your house, of course, but $5, that's all it costs. Yes, I have a PayPal button on my website, which was repaired this week after a month of being out of action, 1 month without new readers or books sold.
Well, I think we should point out that somebody sabotaged your Google link, and I went up there, and it's actually that. The inference was that if you dared to go to this website, why, they'd destroy your computer. So, I mean, I think that would discourage a lot of people.
If it wasn't for Joel Skousen, who was a guest on my radio show, who gave me his son's phone number, who found out how they did it and fixed it, it would still be hacked.
I know. Well, fortunately, we have a good group of people all sort of networked together, and I'm so glad that Derek was able to help you. That Derek is Joel's son. Go ahead.
Yes, he is. Well, for 1 month, I've been out of circulation, and so you can now go to www.barrychamish.com. And by the way, I took your suggestion and opened another website called bchamish.com. Same website, but we didn't know if we'd ever fix barrychamish.com.
Okay.
So we took every avenue. You'll see a PayPal button on the main page. If you want to donate, I've explained it all to you. It's very, very appreciated. And if you want to invite me to speak or buy my DVDs, which I don't sell at Lulu, just phone me. 904-315-8079. That is 904-315-8079. Now, I'm going to just tell you a little story. It's like the Netanyahu CFR story, but it's from the Labor Party. The Defense Minister, Ehud Barak, well, here's his CFR story. And I had it verified this morning on my little radio show. I had a CFR expert verify these minor facts. In the year 2001, Ehud Barak lost an election and said he was going to America to come back rich. He was going to go there and open a couple of businesses, and he would have the funding to continue his political career when he got back to Israel, which is a really, really terrific trick, really. I'd like to know how I can take a trip to America and come back rich. But that's what he announced. So he flew to Washington, where he spent 6 months at the Washington Institute for Strategic Studies, run by Martin Indyk. Well, yes, he is CFR. We checked that on the show today. And yes, he arranged for Barak to be the owner of two very, very prosperous businesses. And Barak lived up to his promise and flew back to Israel and continued his political career, which has led, of course, to the fact that he is running the Israeli Defense Forces on behalf of the CFR.
And I think that's really so important, Barry. I think the point is so valid. And I wish I could get my friends who certainly believe the Zionists are running Washington, D.C., to understand that it's really the CFR and the people associated with that who are running the Israeli government. And the Israeli government is not able to act on its own. It's going to do exactly what it's told to do, even though there'll be a lot of political theater and a lot of efforts to make everybody believe, of course, Israel's acting independently, but I fear they're not. And they're not going to be able to act in their own interest.
Oh, not even close. Look, this has a history. Moshe Dayan was in the grimy paws of the CFR. Henry Kissinger ordered him around. This was back in 73 when he was the Minister of Defense. But even worse, he cut a deal with Dayan to let the Arabs have free reign over Israel for 24 hours. He arranged with Moshe Dayan, well, to remove the IDF troops from the Suez Canal and the Golan, leaving a skeleton force which were simply overrun by the Syrians. The Syrians got all the way to the Jordan River, but they kept their end of the deal. The deal was, you're not going to have any Israeli resistance provided you don't go into pre-67 Israel. As soon as the Syrians got there, the first day of the war, they stopped their troops cold. What the rumor was is they overran their supply lines. My goodness, the Golan Heights, you in 90 minutes here, you've crossed the entire Golan Heights. You have to really work on overrunning your supply lines when you're talking about 10 miles.
Well, I think it's important for people to know that you can stand on the top of the Golan Heights and you can see Damascus, and I've done that. It must be pretty short supply lines there. Go ahead.
Well, you stand on the Golan Heights and you can see the entire Galilee from the other point of view. But nonetheless, Moshe Dayan, in his caving in to the CFR, cost 2,700 Israeli lives and literally their best young men in the first three days of the war. 2,700 young men because he simply emptied out the defenses and let Egypt and Syria have their way for 24 hours and then mobilized Israel. Now what Barak is up to is going to, my goodness, it's the same game, and Barak is Well, don't forget it was Barack that pulled out of 7-Eleven on. Without that action, Hezbollah wouldn't be shooting rockets at Israel to this day. There wouldn't have been a war in 2006. That was Barack who pulled the troops out of southern Lebanon, and he is capable of causing a war to Israel, and, well, he's proven it, okay? He's simply proven it. The Defense Ministry of Israel and its army are firmly in the hands of the Council on Foreign Relations.
And that is such an important fact, and I hope all of our listeners will listen to what Barry has to say. If you haven't heard his talk on Netanyahu, it was last week, midweek, 9 o'clock program in the evening. Listen to that. Listen to it several times. Understand that everything that we're being told is simply a lie, that Israel is not running Washington, D.C., manipulating Washington, D.C. It's exactly the other way around, and I really fear this will be the detriment for Israel. But go right ahead.
Well, I don't know what this story means, but you're not going to hear it anywhere else. It was, again, buried in Israeli military gossip, which I find, as I said, I know how to read between the lines with these guys. I know they can't keep their mask on forever. Even when they've censored an article, you can figure out something is cooking. Now, this means something is cooking, but I don't know what it means. 1 month ago, a large unit of Marines came to Israel and has been training with Israeli soldiers at the Tse'elim base in the Negev Desert. Now, did you know that the Marines were doing training with the IDF?
No, I really didn't, Barry. Go ahead.
Well, I don't know where to go with this. Okay.
Well, just tell us what you know, but there are a lot of things going on over there. Sometimes they're just little points on a graph, but one of these days we'll be able to connect all those points.
Well, the article hinted that it was for fighting in Afghanistan. All right? It didn't say it, but it left you with that impression.
Well, you're not going to send Israeli soldiers over to Afghanistan.
No, you're going to have Israeli soldiers train Marines.
Oh, I see. Okay, go ahead.
No, you're not openly, you're not. You know what? You actually could conceivably have that. I don't. That's now I'm speculating. I'm not speculating about the issue of the Israeli infantry and the Marines holding exercises together for the last month in the Negev Desert. I'm just throwing that out as an interesting piece of information of which, frankly, I don't know what it means.
Well, I will tell you, as you well know, of course, the American government has been actually training and arming the Palestinians, and I don't know how many millions of dollars they spent buying them sophisticated weapons and training them for warfare, when we know very well that when the war comes, the Palestinians are going to be fighting the Israelis. So why would we spend tens of millions of dollars to train the Palestinians to kill the Jews, and then at the same time we're spending a great deal of money with our Marines training the Israelis so that they will be more effective in their battle with the Palestinians, unless maybe we're arming and training both sides?
Oh, that goes without saying.
Well, I think it's so important, Barry, though, that people understand that it's the oldest trick in the world. And when are the American people going to understand this is what we did during the Iraq-Iran war? We were arming both sides. Why would you do something like that?
Yeah, but this is proven that General Dayton's Palestinian forces, using only American equipment funded entirely by the United States, they're training the PLO army and police. They're giving hundreds of millions of bucks to the Lebanese army, which ends up buying weapons for the Hezbollah is what it does. Oh, we know that there are armies both sides. That's no secret.
All right, fine, but I don't think the average American does. That's what I'm, go ahead.
Well, all right. The average American really couldn't care less one way or another about these issues, let alone specifics. But what you've got in Israel right now. This is an observation that I'm going to make. The primary enemy of Israel right now is not the PLO. It's Syria and Lebanon and Iran. That's where all the missiles are coming from. And as I started the show, the PLO, at least in the West Bank, are starting to get some money, and they're becoming more pacific. Certainly, that's not true in Gaza, but it seems to be true in the West Bank. But again, I'm going to go on to another subject that interests me. Well, I have my own unusual subjects, and there is an Israeli who is inspired by the BP Gulf of Mexico leak to also expose the biggest ecological disaster in Israel, and he's making a movie about it. It's called Salt of the Earth. He is, he claims to be a sailor. He's writing about the Dead Sea, in short, without confusing you. Now, I've been discussing the Dead Sea as the worst ecological disaster in Israel or in the Middle East. Nonetheless, there are solutions.
All right, for our listeners, the Dead Sea is just drying up, and it's just getting smaller and smaller, but go right ahead.
Well, I'll explain how he explains. He worked on the Dead Sea used to be 70 kilometers long. Today it's 35 kilometers long, and they have to pump water to the southern end to get the minerals out of the solution. They let them dry up in these ponds. That's where the hotels are, by the way. And he was saying, well, he explained the process that we would take dredgers, 100-foot dredgers, and dredge out the ponds, and then they'd have to pump in more water once we got rid of this chemical solution. They'd have to empty more water from the north, and he said it's just drying up the Dead Sea at twice the natural level. And whatever. He's just verifying something from a new angle that I've known about for a while. But there are two plans afoot, the Jordanian plan and the Israeli plan, to replenish the Dead Sea. Now, this is something I know something about, and I've known about it way back in the 80s when the Israel bonds were raising money to build a canal between the Red Sea and the Dead Sea, using the gravity. The Dead Sea is, 1,300 feet below sea level, and the Red Sea is obviously at sea level, so you wouldn't even have to pump the water. Natural gravity would make this canal move towards the Dead Sea. It would fill it up, and everyone would be happy. And now, it sounds great on paper. The Israeli plan is the same thing, except use the Mediterranean Sea to replenish the Dead Sea. Now, I worked for Israel Bonds, who raised the initial money for this project. It was called the Red Med Canal, way back in the 80s. And, well, I wrote about it, but I also studied it. They had these brochures and these scientific studies, and they told me to take it upstairs before I do my PR writing and understand the issue. The more I read about this thing, the more impossible, what a disaster was in the making if they put one of these canals in. Not only will it eventually pollute the natural aquifers, I hear music.
You hear music, Barry, go right ahead, I'll tell you when to quit.
What happens is seawater and dead seawater don't mix. The seawater is so much lighter that it stays on top of the dead seawater, forming a greenhouse effect. Literally, the Dead Sea would boil out of existence if you build this canal.
Our guest is Barry Samish, and we're talking about just putting seawater into the Dead Sea, and it ain't going to work. Go right ahead, Barry. You got 3 minutes to wrap up the program.
Well, I actually rushed that, but I will stick.
Heart disease is on the rise. Clogged arteries, high blood pressure, and high cholesterol levels may not be fully detected by you, but the symptoms are there. Loss of energy, blood sugar spikes and drops, poor circulation, and irregular heartbeat are just a few of these that can alert you that something is wrong. Hear how Heart and Body Extract is making a difference in thousands of people's lives across America.
My blood pressure has normalized. My diabetes has totally improved.
Everyone is telling me now how much healthier I look, and I'm telling everyone how much healthier I feel. I recommend Heart and Body Extract to everyone.
Anybody over 40 in the North American continent should be using this product as a preventative to keep their cardiovascular system healthy.
Order your 2-month supply today by calling 866-295-5305. That's 866-295-5305. Or order online, hbextract.com. Heart and Body Extract, 866-295-5305 or hbextract.com.
You may be new to freeze-dried foods. You may have storable food questions. You may want to buy your freeze-dried foods from a very reputable company and not go broke in the process. Welcome to the Freeze-Dry Guy. Okay, actually, we're more than just one guy. We're a California-based company that's been serving our U.S. military and other government agencies with the finest in freeze-dried storable foods and emergency rations since 1970. See all about us at freezedryguy.com. With Freeze-Dry Guy freeze-dried foods, you can and will be ready for just about any unexpected crisis. Freeze-dried guy foods are delicious, require little preparation, and will taste just as fresh decades from now as they do today. Just add hot water and serve. Backpackers consistently rate us number one year after year as the best tasting and ease of preparation. Isn't that what you want for your family? Visit freezedryguy.com or call 866-404-FOOD. That's 866-404-3663 or go to freezedryguy.com. Freeze-dry guy, the best you can buy.
Where are my car keys? What did I come in this room for? Where did I put that?
A common condition called age-related memory loss is robbing millions of people of their ability to remember and think clearly. And Alzheimer's and Parkinson's are occurring at younger ages, even early 20s and 30s. And there's much evidence that brain inflammation may be the cause. Brain inflammation may also cause depression and insomnia. But there's great news. Studies show by taking special, powerful nutrients, brain inflammation and its damaging effects may be greatly reduced. And that's why neurosurgeon Dr. Russell Blaylock created his brain repair formula to reduce brain inflammation and maintain a healthy brain. So, for a free book on brain health or information on Dr. Blaylock's special brain repair formula, call 1-800-SPECIAL or visit 1-800-SPECIAL.com. 1-800-SPECIAL.
Fair over there, atomic, biological, chemical. I mean, is it possible? I mean, it's almost unthinkable. And yet, ladies and gentlemen, many times things happen that are unthinkable, that are beyond the ability, the horror beyond the ability of people to really understand what's happening. This is why we urge our listeners to make their preparations, hope that it never happens here. But far better to be prepared and have nothing happen than not to make preparations and have something horrible happen here. And I think that all we can do as far as Israel is pray for the safety of the Israeli people over there, because they're on the front lines of this battle. But remember, God does have a plan broad. God put the people there in Israel for this time. And it's not to say that there's not going to be some terrible things that are going to happen. But you must understand that there is a spiritual battle. We look at things politically, we look at it from the ideological point of view, we look at it from the financial point of view, but nobody wants to talk how you put these together in the spiritual context, which is why you must read my book, Brotherhood of Darkness. That's Brotherhood of Darkness, and you can get the book or the DVD, and if you can't afford the DVD, go to my website, RadioLiberty.com, and you can watch the two-hour presentation. If you can stand to hear me talk for 2 hours on the Internet, it'll be there for nothing. But the message is so important, because certainly nobody's going to tell you why they took God and prayer out of our schools. Oh, everybody knows they took God and prayer out of the schools because of the wall of separation between church and state. But that's a non-existent wall. It was created, but why was it created? And who did it? And what is the ultimate goal? Well, Brotherhood of Darkness will answer that question. We have a great DVD. It's called The Secret. And it goes into the fact that there really is a secret. There is a force out there that most people are unaware of. If you want to understand what's happening financially, you need to hear my talk on the Financial Armageddon. Now, there's a syllabus that goes with that. We have, if you say, a three pamphlet set on the occult hierarchy. There really is an occult hierarchy that rules the world. Most people don't know who they are. You need to, of course, see the DVDs, very professionally done. The Secret Mystery of America's Beginning. There's a trilogy, The Secret Mystery, Riddles in Stone, The Secret Architecture of a Nation's Capital, and The Eye of the Phoenix. We certainly recommend those three together, and we hope you'll want to get them. My number is 1-800-544-8927. And then, of course, we would suggest the DVD. You can get the 3-hour, the 4-hour, the 10-hour version of They Sold Their Souls for Rock and Roll. They Sold Their Souls for Rock and Roll, one of the most powerful videos you'll ever see. And I will promise you that after you've watched it, you will never look at the world through the same eyes again. And I guess the 10-hour, could you imagine watching something for 10 hours? Well, I will tell you, it is fascinating, and we've had many people who have watched it and gotten the message. Now, of course, we carry Alex Jones' great DVD, The Invisible Empire. We carry his Loose Chains, the final cut. We carry the Police State 4. All of these are important. We have his Endgame on the Bilderbergers. We have his Bohemian Grove. We have Terror State. These are excellent. Alex has done an excellent job, and we want to help them get out. Go to our website of RadioLiberty.com. You can see all the things we have there. But let me suggest that if you have not seen Pastor Billy Crone's DVDs on the final countdown, there's 10 DVDs, two parts, part one, part two, on the fearful creation, on the RFID identification. These are all sets of DVDs. They will help you to understand, but what's so important about them is they all end with a personal invitation to have a personal relationship with our Lord Jesus Christ. So again, the number to call is 1-800-544-8927. Our webpage is RadioLiberty.com. We ask you, of course, to pray for America. We ask you to pray for revival, because if we don't have a revival, we're going to lose America. We ask you to pray for our leaders, our ministers, but pray for Radio Liberty, our provision and protection.
You're tuned to the Global Star Radio Network. Thanks for listening.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to the Power Hour Radio Show. It is 26 August 2010. Thank you for joining us, caring about your world one day at a time. We will rebuild our own world. You don't understand that? Well, if you haven't listened to the Power Hour very long, you may not understand that, because it's a new concept. We don't like their world. We're not going to acquiesce. And the only winning move is not to play their game. We can do anything one day at a time. And that's what we have to do here, is begin our independence. Begin our independence away from the traditional dependence upon the system. That's the one thing they don't want us to do, is to move away from them. And that's what we encourage you to do at the Power Hour, by becoming more self-sustaining in everything that you do, whether it's growing your own sprouts, growing your own garden, getting a greenhouse, not using their credit cards. Ooh, we need to spend more time on that one, because that's a major issue in which a lot of people are showing their independence, because that will hurt them. Remember, they operate out of credit. And if we don't participate, their system gets hurt. Well, we need to show them we don't want to be a part of their system any longer. You know, I was reading something the other